So what a week we have had this week in the country. When I start to think about it, I could get very angry and very frustrated. I'm sure many of us feel the same way. I'm going to pick up a little bit on what Dr. Anang said last week. And as usual, Dr. Anang's message is a word from the Lord. And I believe he's entirely right when he says that there are times when it's right for us to perhaps err on what may be classed as political. Don't want to be political left or right, but I will always be political when it's a case of God's way or a globalist agenda. Amen. That to me is not politics. And what's going on in our nation today is not actually about politics. If you notice, there are people on the left wing and the right wing who both are for remain and for leave. So you see, it crosses politics. It's actually not a political issue. The issue is, in my opinion, and I have to gauge it in my opinion, so you understand I'm sharing my opinion, my understanding of the scriptures and what I'm seeing happen before our very eyes is that God is in his mercy, and we've been praying for mercy this morning, God is in his mercy, giving us a chance to not be part of one of the beast empires that Daniel says will arise in the very last days. Okay, that's where I'm coming from. So I'm neither left nor right in that respect. I need to make that clear. And, you know, in Scripture, in Isaiah 21, the prophet says, "Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The morning comes, but also the night." And what does that mean? For us as watchmen, and we need to be those who stand alert. You know, Jesus said several times, watch. Watch and pray. Luke 21, 36. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with the anxieties of life and drunkenness and dissipation. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth." And he goes on to say, "Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape." And really, that's what we're going to talk about for the first few minutes this morning. So in terms of watching, you know, we do need to be aware. The watchman, the Greek and the Hebrew words behind that word watchman or being watchful is all about being awake. If you're a watchman on the walls of the city, you weren't doing a very good job if you fell asleep. Excuse me. You had to stay awake, and that's the meaning behind the Greek words, which I'm not going to attempt to pronounce, in Matthew 24, Matthew 26, and Luke 21. The meaning behind watch is stay awake, be alert, be vigilant, be wakeful. In other words, for us to be aware of what is going on in the world, biblically speaking, and not asleep with all the anxieties or the pleasures of life. We need to be aware of what is going on. And I wasn't going to mention anything about UK politics this week, but I feel that I have to say one or two things. I'm just going to read one or two things. Sometimes, and we've prayed for Theresa May many times in the fellowship over this last couple of years or so, and we need to continue to do that. But there seems to me to be an absolute, one thing is said, but in actual fact, something else is written down. And the deal, the withdrawal agreement that's been presented, the draft withdrawal agreement, I'm just going to mention one or two things. I'm going to put these links on the website tomorrow. I'm at work this afternoon, but the message underneath the message will be some links to some websites so we can see what they're saying. I'm just reading from Priti Patel, She's written in, on her blog that having read the withdrawal agreement in detail and having taken legal advice, it's clear to me that our country is now in a position where instead of leaving the EU and taking back control, we face being indefinitely chained to Brussels. She goes on to say, specific points. The agreement forces the UK to seek the permission and consent of the EU to negotiate and agree new trade deals. The agreement leaves us with no control over our borders. The agreement leaves our union in a fragile state, with Northern Ireland being treated differently. And it goes on. And also importantly, the withdrawal agreement that's been presented this week and that the Cabinet has approved provides the Court of Justice of the EU with powers to continue to determine our laws even beyond the transition. So when we start to dig into it, and I'm not going to do any more digging into it now, what is being said, that this is a deal that delivers, it's not the truth. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of that. Again, this is my opinion, there is a betrayal of democracy going on. We are living in an historic time. It's a truly historic time. And the outcome of what has already been presented would be that we would be treated as if we were a defeated foe who had been defeated and dictated terms by the victor. So that's what we need to consider. There's a tremendous betrayal of democracy going on. People have voted to leave the EU. This deal will not bring us out of EU orbit or EU control. Another quote from another article that leaves us indefinitely chained to Brussels. And again, my opinion is it seems to be an abject surrender. I don't blame the EU. They've got everything they wanted, but I do blame our officials and the way it's been conducted. So that's my point of view of what is before us. And I do feel that the, when we were praying in September, that I was saying that there's a real danger to our constitution. And we're really at that point. This is where it's starting to break out. So we need to double up our prayers. We do need to be praying. Pray for God's will in all of this. In particularly this week. And Jesus goes on to say to watch and pray. Watch and pray. And just to mention, actually, the main thing that I was going to mention on this side of things as part of the watching, there's two articles that I'm just going to refer to that we probably will have missed over the last fortnight, but which are shocking in that they reveal the heart of where the EU is headed. Germany's Angela Merkel has called openly for a real European army, a real European Union military. This is quoted by Reuters. I think about a couple of weeks ago, Merkel told the European Parliament such an army would not undermine the US-led military NATO alliance, but would be complementary to it, but goes on to say that we should work on a vision of one day establishing a real European army in order to counteract the US. And the French Foreign Minister, Bruno Le Maire, he said specifically that we need a real European Union army against the US. And he cites the US as being one of the major enemies of the EU. He also called for the European Union to become an empire. In the last 2 weeks, he called, and this is recorded on Handelsblatt, openly calling for the European Union to become an empire, and that Germany should take the lead in creating that. Okay, so yeah, imagine that. So this is where the EU is heading. Okay, the EU is heading in that direction, and I believe biblically we could support that theory. So we need to watch. That's what I was really wanting to say. We need to watch. We be on our guard. This is what's going on as we speak this morning. But Jesus said to pray. So let's get on to the prayer aspect. Let's come away from all of that. Let me just move that out of the way a bit now. Jesus said that we can pray. Psalm 24 talks about he who has clean hands and a pure heart, he is the one who may ascend into the presence of the Lord. Let me just read that to you. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord. So if we want to pray with effectiveness, we need to take on board all the things that the Lord gives us about prayer. And this isn't a study about prayer this morning. This is just a brief reminder. We need to be living pure and holy lives. If we live how we like and then expect God to answer our prayers, we're kidding ourselves. We won't be able to ascend into the presence of the Lord by his grace until we are washed. You know, the people approaching the temple and before that the tabernacle, they couldn't just walk in to the holy place, could they? They had to go through the process of cleansing. And I know that we're washed in the Lord, but Jesus said you don't need to be fully washed, you just need your feet washing. And we will need our feet washing when we want to come into the presence of the Lord in order to pray effectively. Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you'll ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Unequivocal promise that if we fulfill our part of that, the Lord will answer those prayers that he leads us to pray. Our prayers can be effective. I want to read from James chapter 5, well-known scripture. Verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now this example that James gives us is very apt, because you could say that Elijah prayed for the people to be affected physically by the weather. You know, he prayed that there would be no rain. Now, those who've been to Israel or those who've lived in a dry climate will know if you don't have rain, you've got serious trouble. So when he prayed, Lord, don't send the rain, that was a serious intervention in the life of the nation. And yet, when we read in 1 Kings 18, verse 36, Elijah, when he prays to the Lord about the fire to come down, he says, you have told me to do all this. He says, I prayed this prayer and have done all this at your command. So in other words, God had intervened in the life of the nation through the prayers of a man whose heart was open to him. Do you see that? He intervened. And although we need to be careful, we don't just pray our own prayers, we don't just pray our own thoughts, we need to seek God, we need to hear from God, but then we need to pray that into the heavenly realm. And God will lead us in our prayers at this point in time. Dawn led us in praying the Lord's Prayer this morning. What's the first thing we ask for in the Lord's Prayer? Where? On earth. That's really, and that's a pattern. It's not just a prayer for us to recite. That prayer is a pattern. It's a lifestyle. We come into the Lord's presence, as we did this morning with Psalm 100, with praise. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Excuse me. Hallowed be your name. But then, after that, the Lord leads us into prayer. And that first prayer is, your will be done in earth Sometimes that means in earth, this earth, as it is in heaven, as well as in the whole earth. Excuse me. So God said, when the Lord says to us, watch and pray, that's what we need to be doing. Watching, yes, but with the purpose of prayer. Okay. And as we see from the Lord's Prayer, the purpose of that is to pray God's kingdom come in earth. So it's to pray God's wider purposes. Just a note about Elijah and the rains. The withholding of rain was part of God's wider purpose to bless Israel. It seemed like a harsh thing to pray because it caused a lot of trouble. Yet it was part of God's wider purpose to bring Israel back into right relationship with him. And I believe that God may very well allow judgment upon our nation because we are away from God. And yet that will be mercy shown to us because God wants to bring us back to him. That's the purpose of God's judgment. Praise the Lord. Okay. If you'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 1. That would be very nice. I just encourage us to continue praying. We need to be fasting and praying into all of these matters. And what we're going to talk about now is not unrelated to all of that, but it's kind of different point of view. And shortly we're going to be turning to Psalm 33 as well, just to forewarn you of that one. And looking at Psalm 33. But what I really wanted to talk about this morning in the remaining time is how amazing our God is. Our amazing Creator God. And whenever we do our watching and praying, we need to bear this in mind. We need to be focused on the Lord. The danger is we get focused on what's going on. And that's a distraction. Our real focus needs to be on what God is doing and who God is. You know, it says in Hebrews that the Lord Jesus, he is the architect and the builder of not only our faith, but also of the city that is to come. Abraham looked for that city. I don't know about you, but this week I have, you know, in moments of reflection, you get so annoyed and so, annoyed. please excuse me. Around 1979 or 1980, on Not the 9 o'clock News, Gerald the gorilla was interviewed, and it was like a chat show situation, you know, and he sat there and Gerald the gorilla sat there with his legs crossed, you know, very civilized. They said to him, "Well, Gerald, when you were caught, were you wild?" He said, "Wild? I was furious." And at times in all of this going on, I have felt furious, I confess it. I can get so wound up with the duplicity and the... Please, just tell the truth, say it like it is. Please excuse us the, what did Orwell call it? The speak.
Double
speak, thank you. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what we're getting at the moment. And we can feel frustrated, wild, furious. But we are to focus on the Lord. We are to focus on the Lord, our amazing Creator God. Now, I just want to read from Colossians 1, from verse 8. Maybe it's Colossians 2, verse 8. It is, See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. And if we just turn back to chapter 1, verse 15. For by him, through Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And sometimes we don't focus on this aspect of the Lord so much. But the Creator aspect, God our Creator, Jesus the Creator. And that's partly because we live in a society and a Western world where what we read from chapter 2, verse 8, a hollow and deceptive philosophy holds sway. And I know that's slightly out of context in the context of this chapter, but it still falls into the same category. Evolution is hollow and deceptive philosophy that has captive the mind. You don't have to take her out, it's not a problem for me. Evolution, the theory of evolution, the belief of evolution, which is really what it is, the philosophy of evolution, which basically at its heart says there is no God, has the captivity of many people's minds. Because talking about God as creator, have you noticed if anybody raises that as an issue, they're shot down as if it's like blasphemy in Pakistan? You know, there's an irrational reaction to that, isn't there? And yet the Bible says clearly, God is the creator. We read it. The Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, is the creator. John 1, you know, it's not just Genesis, the first two or three chapters of Genesis. It's throughout Scripture. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus we're talking about here, let's be clear. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God, the Father, in the beginning. Through him, what? All things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is the Creator. He was there with the Father in the beginning of creation. There are many other scriptures that we could turn to, but I want to just turn to Psalm 33 and just follow this thought through a little bit. I'm just going to read to you the first 11 verses of Psalm 33 because it's relevant to all that we've said so far this morning, and it dovetails perfectly with how the whole service has gone. Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord, in the Hebrew that is hallelujah. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre or the 6-stringed guitar or the 4-stringed bass. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Praise God. There's a lot in there, and we're just going to walk through that. As we continue. So the first three verses there, the psalmist is enjoining us to worship God, to praise him. It's fitting for us to do so. Do it with music. Do it joyfully. It's meant to be happy. It's meant to be something that where we clap our hands or where we lift our hands or where we even shout for joy. We're perhaps a little too English sometimes to shout for joy, but it is there in the Bible. We need an American in our midst in order to do that. except if you go to a football ground, you'll see some shouting going on there. Sing to him a new song. Why? So those first three verses tell us to praise the Lord. Verse 4, why do we do that? Because the word of the Lord is right and true. So the Bible that we love, that the world loves to belittle and deride and minimize and make out through all the media outlets that it has, that it's just an old-fashioned dusty book that's got no relevance to today. The Bible says, and God says, the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Goes on to say, the Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. This is the declaration of truth. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. So when it goes dark tonight, and if it's clear sky like it has been recently, have a look at that. By his very word, and who is the word? The Lord Jesus. The heavens were made. You see, God is so powerful, and we are just learning now how this works a little bit. God is so powerful that all he had to do was command and things came into being, into his design. You know, you might have a computer or a tablet or a screen or a phone, if you've got one of the more modern ones, where you can just do that and it does something. You don't have to touch it. Or you can, even mine, if I knew how to work it, I could tell it to do something and it would do it. In my car, I can press a button and Mildred will ask me, what do I want to do? Called her Mildred. She's a bit bossy. From George and Mildred. So I can say to okay, it's pre-programmed, etc., and you have to say very clearly in terms that she will understand. But I can say, phone, you know, and it'll say, who would you like to ring? And it'll say a name, and it'll get it wrong. But do you know what I'm saying? We're getting the technology where just by what we say or what we do, things happen. Well, hello. Hello. What does the Bible say? He spoke, and the heavens were made. Praise God. Goes on to say, he gathers the waters of the sea into jars. I think in some other translation it says a heap, makes them into a heap. He puts the deep into storehouses. Well, how do you put the deep, the oceans, into storehouses? Well, I think it's called icebergs. So the psalmist knew about icebergs, because that's a storehouse of the deep. And, you know, a storehouse is something where something is stored, ready to be drawn on at a later time. And the talk about climate change, etc., and ice sheets melting. I think God's ahead of the curve on all of this. He's got the deep in storehouses. Just a thought. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. Why? Verse 9. That was verse 8. Why? Verse 9. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. That's why the whole earth should revere the Lord. But because most people's mind has been captured to a philosophy that is anti-God, anti-biblical. People can't see God as this creator. And it's a major, major problem. The foundations of our Christian society have actually been eroded by such a philosophy, because people think, well, there can't be a God because it just happened over millions of years. The Bible's not right. So why are you telling me about Jesus? It's all rubbish. That's the thinking that's going on. But it's not rubbish, because God created the heavens and the earth. What is rubbish is this mindset that has beset us. I wonder if that is the great falling away. I don't know that for sure. I don't know. But the Lord goes on then in the next two verses, and he kind of links what's gone on before that and says, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. And what we're seeing evidence of in our political realm right now is an example of what I would call the deep state. I know that sounds very, but it's an example of how we don't really live in a democracy. We don't really live in a democracy. They're not really going to let us, unless God intervenes, have this democratic decision that takes this country away from the globalist, elitist bloc's plans for a one world government. They're not really going to allow that. That's how I see it. That's what I think is going on. But here the Lord says, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. If a nation is following God's ways, there's no need for him to foil the plans of the nations. But the nations don't follow God's plans. The nations want to, they're under the influence of an antichrist spirit. The Bible tells us that. And in the end, that will result in the revelation of the man of sin himself on the political platform. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. Now, if God, by his word, can form the heavens and the earth and the creation that we see, how much more is he able to foil the plans of the nations? How great is our God? He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord, verse 11, stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. You know, there's another verse in Psalm 2 that actually says that, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them, and then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. And you know, Dr. Anang recently, he's been talking and going through Daniel, and it was a few weeks ago when he was in Daniel 2, and he was talking about Nebuchadnezzar's statue and the kingdoms of the earth. He said there's going to be these four main kingdoms of the earth. And it ended in the final one, the kingdom of iron, of clay, with 10 toes on the 2 feet. And, without talking about what that is likely to be, but I believe it's a revived Roman Empire, because it was clear that the Roman Empire was the two legs of iron that go down into the feet on this statue. It's a vision, it's a picture. And but what comes after that is the rock from heaven that breaks that and destroys the kingdoms of man, which will culminate in the Antichrist kingdom, and the Lord will reign forever. And in Psalm 2, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. Now, God is not perturbed the way I've been perturbed. That's why our eyes need to be on him. And we do need to be careful that we don't project our own political thoughts. I understand that. But we do need to recognise what is going on, call it for what it is, and then pray into it. Pray into it. His plans stand forever. The fullness of creation is not finished yet. Verse 11 of Psalm 33. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. You know, when the Lord created the heavens and when he created the earth and set things as he did, it was almost like a picture. And many people believe, although can't be too hard and fast about it, but the 7 days of creation, elsewhere, several times in Scripture, it says that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And so there's a theory that says that the 7 days of creation actually are a mirror, if you like, or a projection of 7,000 years of time in God that will culminate with the Lord's 1,000-year reign on earth. That's a theory. We can't prove it. I know there'll be different opinions, but that's an interesting theory. But the point I'd like to really draw is that God's creation hasn't finished. It didn't end, you know, when God said it, he saw all creation and it's good, because he is building a people. He's building his bride. He's creating his bride. It's the culmination of God's creation is his body, his people. So creation has not finished in that respect. And that's why I believe it says here in verse 11, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. God is still at work creating and doing a new thing. Just draw to a close by saying a little something about Job. There was another extract, actually, I wanted to read. I haven't shut this down, sorry. You know, Job, apparently Job was something of a contemporary of Abraham. So he's very early in the biblical account, even though in our Bibles Job comes before Psalms. Historically, chronologically, he should be probably around the Genesis time. But one of my devotionals this week was about the wonder of creation and somebody reflecting on all of these things. And just let me quote to you. It's from Seeds of the Kingdom. I'll just quote to you from halfway through. He's on his way somewhere and he's reflecting on the beauty, etc. Then it started raining and I reflected on the rain and where it came from and how it worked. I mean, I know the science, but still, it's amazing. I remembered the story of Job and how, after 37 chapters of talking, questioning and arguing by Job and his friends, God finally speaks in chapter 38. But God doesn't answer the questions that have been asked. He just asks Job to reflect on the creation. He asks him if he could do such things as commanding the morning to appear or holding back the sea, if he could control the seasons or control the stars in the sky. God goes on for 3 chapters with his questions to Job regarding the creation. But at the end, Job had a fresh revelation about God, himself, and his relationship with God. And when we consider God as the awesome creator God, and how we even read there in Colossians, how even the very all things consist, it says, all things hold together in him. I've heard it said that that's even referring to the forces that are in play in every atom. There is a force that holds atoms together. No doubt you can find more about this online, but you know, the very forces at work inside the atom, that verse is referring to even that all things hold together in Christ Jesus. In him all things consist. When we start to think of God in that sort of detail and remind ourselves of his amazing creative ability and his skills, then we too will come into a better and a closer relationship with the Lord. See, the Lord didn't try and answer all his questions, question by question. He pointed into the creation. And a couple more verses concerning the creation for us to finish with. In Hebrews 1, in 1 verse 1 and 2, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Just like an almost a casual aside, through whom the Lord, God the Father, through the Lord Jesus, created the universe. And Revelation chapter 4, so this is Revelation, so this is heaven, okay? Let me read to you these three or four verses. Each of the four living creatures had six wings, so we're talking about angels here. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." So this is in heaven. This is a vision of what's going on in heaven. God's creation, God's creative ability, God's holding all of creation together is being worshipped in heaven. So it's not something that's unrelated to what's going on. It's good for us to be reminded in our own situations, our own thoughts, our own national situation. Our God is the Creator God. He is amazing what he has done. Yeah. And last November we had a Creation Day, Creation Sunday. And I had thought about whether we could do that again this year, but the time just seems to have run on, and before we know it, we're at this date already. So I wanted to share something about creation, and I just felt that the Lord led me to this psalm, and how it ties in, Psalm 33, how it ties in us praising God because his word is right and true. By his word, the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Let all the earth even revere him, for he spoke and it came to be. So the whole creation thing, and then how it links that with the Lord foils the plans of the nations. It's connected. And so the Lord is, I believe, looking to encourage us this morning that, yes, we need to watch and pray. Yes, we need to be aware of what's going on, pray into it. But more than that, we need to have our eyes on our amazing creative God. He it is who is in control. He is the one who holds the nations in derision, it says, doesn't it? So I just commend that to you. I know some of that may have been controversial. Please forgive me if I've offended anybody. It's not my intention to do that. I think we need to be forthright at times like this. We do need to be praying, as Dr. Anang said last week. We need to be praying into what is going on seriously and continually. But praise God, God is in control. Shall we just pray together? Yes, indeed. Lord, we do bless and praise you. We do thank you, Lord. Thank you that by your very word, the heavens and the earth were made. Lord, you are amazing. We appreciate, Lord, this reminder that you are the one who created heaven and earth. You are the one, Lord, whose plans and purposes stand firm forever. You are the one whose purposes stand through all generations. Lord, we bless and praise you. We pray you will help us to be the men and women you want us to be at this point in time. Help us, Lord, to draw near to you, to be full of worship and praise for you, Lord, and yet to be those tools where we pray according to your will, your kingdom come. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.